From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs, and we also have the guys from Locked On Broncos for our podcast crossover. Cody and Cameron, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, guys. You know, anytime we get a chance to hop on here with a AFC divisional opponent, it's always fun to talk Broncos Chiefs football, and this is a big game, especially on Monday night. Huge, huge game, and the Chiefs are riding high, and the Broncos kind of hit a little bit of a low note. So going to be interesting to really talk about this matchup.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me, and looking forward to talking about this historic, you know, rivalry. As Cody said, it's the Kansas City Chiefs against the Denver Broncos. Doesn't look the best on paper for the Broncos, but it's a rivalry nonetheless.
All right, Cody, I have to jump in real quick, and my first question, you look at the offense. You look at paying Case Keenum $20 million. Has it been worth what you are paying him right now at this point?
You know, kind of looking at his production, and to be honest with you, it's almost comparable to what Trevor Siemian's was last year for the Broncos. And a lot of people have kind of hit the narrative that he is a more expensive version of Trevor Siemian at this point. And it's almost felt that way based on if you go back and you watch the Baltimore Ravens game, the Broncos went on the road and really he held the ball too long. He couldn't get his reads and really his ball placement wasn't that great. You know, anytime there was a good passing play by Case Keenum, there was a holding call that negated it. The Broncos had over 10 penalties for over 100 yards. So I believe they had 13 penalties for over 120 yards. Anytime you have that, not a very good formula. But yeah, there's a little bit of frustration right now amongst Broncos country when it comes to Case Keenum because he hasn't really been the guy that they really brought him in, the guy who didn't throw as many interceptions last year when he was in Minnesota, and you're not really getting that production right now, so that's kind of been frustrating.
Okay, so that's not the only question, though, right? I mean, this kid that's a phenom, sort of, like he's this year's Kareem Hunt, right? So tell me, Cameron, what's your take on Lindsey, what his role can be, and honestly, how it's going to evolve? We're going to see him Monday night, but there's also going to be another game later on in the month. What do you see that he can become in that time?
It's a really special story. You know, you go back and you look at just the amount of pressure that he would be under. You know, we talk about, you know, kind of assuming a city. You know, you see one with the Colorado Rockies and Kyle Freeland having the success that he is having with the Colorado Rockies. And then now you see Philip Lindsey, another local kid from Denver South High School, go to the CU Buffaloes, you know, become undrafted. And, you know, we've seen oftentimes when teams, you know, when you don't go to the combine, it's not the end of the world, but it does beg the question when you're not invited to the combine, you know, did you certainly miss out? But Lindsey's a guy that he's explosive. He's a Chris Thompson type, might even be a little bit more explosive because he's so vastly underrated in between the tackles. He's, I believe, the fourth or fifth leading rusher, at least right now, in the National Football League, and no one would have predicted that. So he's an explosive runner. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's a do-it-all threat for the Denver Broncos on special teams and on the offensive side of the ball, and I think it's going to continue.
Well, when we look at explosive options, you know, Chris and Ryan, I think it's really important to know, you know, you mentioned Kareem Hunt, and I tell you what, he is a power back, and his ability out of the backfield to really chip and release, that's very impressive. And right now we're seeing a lot of explosiveness from this Kansas City offense. You know, the Broncos, a quarterback, they're struggling. Running back, they got a little bit of a bright spot there. And for the Chiefs, though, you look at both quarterback and running back, they're having a lot of fun this year. The offense is lighting it up. Patrick Mahomes, last time we talked, the question was, would he be able to be the guy that the NFL projects him to be? I think he's been a little bit more right now early on. Just his ability to throw, I mean, he's breaking records. He broke Peyton Manning's record for most touchdowns thrown through week 3. What can we expect from a guy like Mahomes and the combination that him and Hunt have for the Chiefs offense?
Well, I think if you look at what he is doing so far this season, 13 touchdown passes is a fantastic number. And there really hasn't been a great running game. It's been effective when it needed to be. But it's really the pass catchers that have really shown up for Kansas City. He's got 13 touchdowns, but to 9 different receivers. That's a phenomenally moving the ball around and not making it focus on one person. You know, the question I have, and this is kind of where I have to be a little bit of tongue in cheek, but is it possible that Mahomes goes into Denver and throws 4 touchdowns to again break Manning's record in week 4?
I think that's not out of the question. I mean, you know, you look at Mahomes and just the ability for him to completely take the league by storm, and especially with the inept defense by the Denver Broncos, I think that's not out of the realm of possibility at all.
I think the question we have to ask here too, will Denver make that adjustment? Now, I know, Ryan, Chris, you're looking at the film. You're watching the Broncos play off coverage. You're watching the Raiders divisional game against the Broncos. You're seeing how far they're playing off, and you're looking at how Patrick Mahomes is playing, and you're excited. I think, you know, with speedy guys like Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, the Broncos have had a lot of struggles this season and in years past covering tight ends. So right now I'm looking at this matchup. If I'm the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs, I am absolutely salivating here at the opportunity to try to get as many points as possible against a very soft Denver secondary right now. Will the Broncos adjust? That kind of remains to be the question there. But, you know, what if you were going into this game, what would be your game plan if you're trying to attack this Broncos defense?
Yeah, especially if they're going to play off, I think it leaves you opportunities to run that screen game. And the Chiefs kind of left that out of the first two game plans. They opened it up a little bit against the Niners, but they have not just screens to their backs, but tight end middle screens. They have not been throwing the bubble very much. So I don't expect a ton of that. But like you said, Kelce's got such a matchup. And I don't know how Todd Davis is playing overall. I know Josie Jewell's playing a little bit, right? But yeah. I got to think that you want to funnel that. And with Kelce being able to run those drags and get underneath under D-backs that are backed off, I think that's really a recipe to get him some moving screens. And I'd look for them to look at him early and often. Now, for my question, I got to ask you, as they get going and try to get chugging, I know they're we don't know anything about Lindsay at this point, but can the offensive line grind yards against the Chiefs defense like they did in seasons past, or are they still struggling running the ball?
I think for me, they can get better as the season goes on. You know, they drafted Royce Freeman to be that bell cow, but obviously we didn't expect Phillip Lindsay to emerge. The offensive line has certainly gotten better in the first 2 weeks of the season, but then it regressed against Baltimore. So I think it's going to continue to get better. But, you know, we'll see. Who knows if the blueprint that Baltimore gave is going to be the recipe for disaster. But I think as far as running game goes, it will be better.
When even looking at, you know, I think defense, you guys talk about passers, get things going too. The Broncos offensive line, you know, they've got a big test on their hands when you look at some of the pass rushers. Justin Houston, you have Anthony Hitchens at inside backer, a big pickup for them this offseason. And opposite of Justin Houston, you have Dee Ford. And, you know, you have Reggie Ragland man in the middle of it. I wouldn't be surprised if we see some stunts from the Kansas City defensive coordinator at this point just to get to the Broncos offensive side of the ball, because really Garrett Bowles had three holding calls on him. And he held Terrell Suggs, and Terrell Suggs has gotten a little bit older in the NFL, still has a high motor. But at this point, you know, looking at the offensive line, like Cameron said, taking a step back, essentially, Ryan and Chris, I'm a little concerned for the Broncos O-line heading into this matchup. What do you think in this point that the Chiefs can do, especially, you know, with Eric Berry's status? Is he going to play this week? That's kind of concerning. But if you can obviously lock up and tight coverage on Denver's receivers and send that pass rush, I think you're going to have some success. What would you guys do against the Broncos O-line and some of these tackles that they have?
Well, tackles are one thing, but what I will say is I would use Chris Jones and Alan Bailey, who I think has looked very good rushing the passer this season so far, and try to get after the quarterback that way. If you can get those two guys going, it's going to help you, because you're going to have – it's possible D4 doesn't play this week. Right now, he's probably at best questionable, strained a groin, supposed to have an MRI, don't have the results of that yet. So it's possible he doesn't even play, which really will hamper what they can do pass rush-wise. But I think that if they can get the interior of the offensive line pushed back with Jones and Bailey and Xavier Williams and maybe even Derek Nnadi, then I think that really helps you know, Tana Passanio and Breland Speaks and Justin Houston get after the quarterback coming from the outside. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back to talk about the defensive side of the ball for both teams.
Locked On NFL with Matt Williams is becoming the daily National Football League podcast. His lineup includes Mondays, where it's local experts, sometimes even me, Tuesday's former NFL QB Sage Rosenfeld. On Wednesday, it's Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus. And Thursday, it's the great Mike Sando of ESPN. Tune in Friday for Matt's picks, and don't miss the Locked On NFL. ever since we started the show, people are always asking for advice, including which team to bet on. And that's what I got to tell you to check out my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to go to MyBookie. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online, and their site is super easy to use. We'd only recommend a service that's been good to our listeners and good to us. That's why we're urging you to take a look at MyBookie. You win, they pay. It's that simple. They have live in-game betting, and you can even take the over-unders on fantasy points scored, and they have all kinds of perks, the best in this business. And right now, MyBookie is slammed with new bettors, and they want to give you and everyone else the best service possible. If you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they'll even give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join now. MyBookie will match that deposit dollar for dollar. Use our promotional code LOCKEDON25 to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON25 when creating your account to claim $1,000 in free pay. If you're willing to hold until after 7, you get the extra $25. That's only using the LOCKEDON25 code. It's up to you guys, but I'd wait until after dinner and take the extra money. You play, you win, you get paid.
All right.
All right. I have to start this because I've been chomping at the bit to talk about the defense because that's just how I am. But I was really a guy that was not huge on Chubb coming out. But when I look at stats, and I haven't watched all the game film for the Broncos. I've seen bits and pieces. But it looks like Chubb is may not be getting home, but he's certainly getting enough total pressures to be the bookend for Von Miller. Do you guys feel like this matchup that he's likely going to see against Eric Fisher is something that he can exploit, or is he still coming along?
I think he's still coming along, and I think it's really important to touch base on this, Ryan, because he is a young guy. He's the fifth overall pick for the Broncos this year. He had a very underrated game against the Ravens. He started off the first drive with a bang, a really big sack on Joe Flacco. He hit him really hard. You know, I think the pressure, you know, we've seen against Seattle and Oakland where Bradley Chubb was most effective, it may not show up in the stat sheet, but the pressure generated by him off the edge and obviously Domantas Peko, Derek Wolfe, that really freed Von Miller up to have the crazy monster couple of weeks that he had against the Seahawks and early on against the Raiders. He had a strip sack that got negated by a holding penalty, but then he ended up having a sack on Derek Carr. Once again, he was kind of deemed sackless against the Ravens. And like I said, they really utilized the quick passing game to really kind of take away that pass rush element that the Broncos had. So really at this point, I think when we look at the pass rush, I think Bradley Chubb is coming along nicely. I think he's going to take a little bit of time, but you know, I think that's to be expected with a rookie at this point too. And even on the defense side of the ball for the Chiefs, Ryan, you know, the question I have too is the process. How is, you know, Eric Murray or Monty Watts, Ron Parker, how have these guys been in the secondary, especially Kendall Fuller at cornerback? And you also brought in Orlando Skandrick, who's not really starting at this point. He's kind of a backup to, you know, I think Steven Nelson. So at this point, what do the Kansas City Chiefs have to offer defensively outside of the pass rush that can really cause some headaches for this Broncos offense?
You know, they're young at the safety position. They did get Ron Parker back, like you mentioned, and that – in terms of solidifying a secondary that's without Eric Berry, and we're in absolute darkness as to when Eric Berry might be back, what's going to happen with him. He's been virtually day-to-day for over 40 days now. He's lost in the wilderness. But Ron Parker is a guy that went, signed with Atlanta. They let him go, but he knows this defense. And Ron Parker's still Ron Parker. He still has a tendency to bite on quarterback's eyes. He gets lured out of position, but he's the best free safety they have right now, and he's keeping it together. And what we've seen at this point is that he's not the Ron Parker that did things to Peyton Manning the day that he got benched that we can all remember as the height of really his performance. And he's not the guy that missed 17 tackles in a game, and that might be an over-exaggeration, but still. He's somewhere in between. He's keeping it together. The other guys, Watts has played sparingly, only 8 snaps last week, and honestly didn't perform very well. You're going to see a lot of Murray against the Broncos, and Murray's been up and down. He's having his adjustments too. He played nickel corner in college, and it's still a project, really, to get him to be a free safety. So we're hoping to see the rookie Dorian O'Daniel. We haven't seen much of him yet. That may be an option too. But on the outside, really, you're right. Skander comes in as the third, but they're in three corners so often that he might as well be a starter. But technically, you'd have Fuller and Nelson as the one and two. But I think Fuller really, in his presence on the inside, it gives the Chiefs a dimension against the Broncos that they haven't had in years, in that the slot position is actually coverable. So I'm feeling fairly confident about that. One thing that I'm not terribly confident about is how the Chiefs are going to exploit Chris Harris, because he's still the leader in that secondary, right?
Yes, yes, he is the leader in that secondary. And I think that, you know, obviously, and this kind of goes to the point or question, in essence, or similarity, I should say, with the Denver Broncos and Kansas City Chiefs, is Kansas City made the conscious decision to trade away Marcus Peters, and the Denver Broncos made the question of trading away Aqib Talib. You know, it's completely different. I should say completely the same scenario. So it's just it's kind of a very interesting scenario on the defensive side of the ball that they both lost their corners.
Well, and they can both get hurt in L.A., and I think we'll all be happy.
Well, right now, I guess both of them, based on looking at the injury report, both of them may miss the Broncos matchup in 19 days if everything goes according to schedule. So kind of crazy, though. But, you know, it's interesting how that dynamic really plays out. And speaking of corners, you know, I was thinking about the Broncos maybe bringing in a Bashaud Breeland, who you guys have a little bit of experience about in the offseason with that trade with Alex Smith. Can you guys talk about that a little bit, how that kind of fell apart?
Chris, that's all you. I'm not going there.
Say what? You're not going there?
I'm not going to talk about Bashaud Breeland and how much access the Chiefs gave him.
Yeah, no, they gave him a lot. I mean, you show up and you let him go out on the field in training camp, and it makes it look like you are going to sign him to a contract. And still to this point, he is not with an NFL team. Obviously, I don't have any inside sources that are telling me what's going on with that, but what I will say is that for him not to be on a team right now, it's one of two things. Either he's wanting too much money, which I really have a hard time believing is the case, or two, there's still some kind of injury, or he's looking for a perfect situation that may or may not come this year. You know, maybe you can bring in Breeland and he'll be able to help your team. Not saying he can't, but at this point, you know, I thought Kansas City was going to go out and get him because I thought it was the corners that were struggling, when it really looks to be the linebackers and the safeties more so than anything else right now. So let me ask you this. You look at the Broncos defense. How do you cover Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins?
You just can't. I mean, not with everything that's gone on with the Broncos defensive side of the ball. You know, that there's just not enough capable bodies right now that can potentially get the job done. They are expected to get Tremaine Brock and Adam Jones back. But I mean, these guys are in their 30s, and, you know, Travis Kelce's obviously been doing a lot of damage to the Broncos, you know, when he's been in the games. But, you know, one of the keys I think for me is just the key with Sammy Watkins, and just him being one of the key cogs in that offensive side of attack, where he's really emerged. It's almost like he's having a rebirth with the Kansas City Chiefs on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, he's been slow to get going, but it's been nice to see. And I think he in particular is looking to do something against the Broncos. And my last question for you guys, and I've always been intrigued by this because I liked him coming out of college. And by the way, just a side note, really, really jealous you guys ended up with Yotam, because I thought he was one of the gold nuggets of this draft, and I wanted him in Kansas City. But that aside, I think one of the matchups that I'm really intrigued by is because I expect Bradley Roby to be playing better than he seems to be. It seems like he's getting thrown at more than I expected. And, Cody, where do you see his progression, and is he hitting a bump in the road, stepping up to being a guy that has to be out there as often as they can have him, honestly?
You know, that's a really tough question because I've been a big fan of Bradley Roby, and I love Yadam. I absolutely love Yadam. I agree with you there. He's struggling as a rookie. He's kind of thrown in the fire. The Broncos don't have a lot of depth right there right now, and that's kind of an issue early on. So he's going to continue to develop. But in terms of Bradley Roby, he is getting thrown at more. And to be honest with you, if you look at the Broncos secondary this year, and you compare it to the year of 2015 where the Broncos had Aqib Talib, Wade Phillips, and they had a bunch of guys on the defensive side of the ball, they went more press man-to-man coverage. This year and last year, it's almost exclusive zone coverage for this Broncos team, and that's hard. As a corner and you're playing a cover three or a cover four, obviously you're preserving deep. And so whatever they throw short, deep comeback routes to the sticks, things like that, you have to break on that and you have to be able to get to the ball. And it's kind of hard when you play zone defense. You're essentially giving up everything short and hoping that when it gets to crunch time, the defense can have a bend but not break mentality. That has really affected Roby's level of play. And this is a contract year. He's in the final year of his rookie deal playing for a new contract this year. And I don't think it's a great start for him. And I don't think a lot of it is on his fault. When the Broncos put him in man-to-man press coverage against Amari Cooper, he had more success. When they played him off coverage against, Amari Cooper, Amari Cooper had a big day, catching short one-step slants, Martavis Bryant catching a one-step slant or smoke routes and getting yards up the field. That is a product of what happens when you play zone coverage. And so if the Broncos go man this week, I think you're going to see Bradley Roby flourish a little bit, have a little bit of success. You go zone, I think it's going to be a long day for the Broncos D.
But is man really what you want to go against Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins?
It's a gamble. It's such a gamble because you really don't have the safeties to really cover over the top as well. Justin Simmons is about your only hope that you can really have. And you got to hope maybe in a situation like that, but just because they use Tyreek Hill on jet sweep. They try to motion him across the field, get him open up, isolated in one-on-one matchups with inside linebackers or smaller nickel corners or slower safeties. Right now, that matchup doesn't bode well because the Broncos have to account for not only Tyreek Hill, not only Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins, but even you have a bunch of options there, DeMarcus Robinson as well as Chris Conley. So the Chiefs have so many options right here. If the Broncos go zone, it's essentially a pick-your-poison for Patrick Mahomes. So I think it's going to be a very tough matchup. A little nervous. I could be honest with you guys. I'm really nervous about this game heading into it because it's a Monday night primetime game. And I tell you what, the Chiefs right now are the most electric team in the NFL, and it's kind of scary to watch.
No, I know where you're going. Go for it.
No, I was just going to say, let's take another quick break and we will come back and we'll talk about how we think this game is going to shake out. We all love a night out, whether it's seeing our favorite band in person or being at Arrowhead to cheer on the Chiefs. With Vivid Seats, you can attend the concert, show, or sporting event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section in row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Every purchase is backed by 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter the promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event or the Chiefs' home opener at Arrowhead next week against the 49ers.
There's four of us on today, folks. It's always a troublesome one, so thanks for sticking with us. But let's start with Cameron. What's your prediction for this final score, Chiefs versus Broncos?
For me, I think it's going to be – well, I'm going to go a little bit on a surprise. I'm not going to predict a Denver Broncos victory, but I think it might be a little bit tighter – defensively, then people might give it credit for, just because, I don't know, it feels like once we get all this hype of everything as far as offense is concerned, I feel like, there's those times where the defense bottles it all up and, they just play better matchups and they're a primetime game. Everybody wants to play better, especially on that Monday night game. So I'm kind of thinking it's going to be a defensive battle, but obviously offense wins it and I think the Chiefs come out on top.
What do we see from you guys, looking at this matchup? I think from a Chiefs perspective, I think you guys have a lot of confidence coming into this game and looking at this defensive matchup. If it plays out to be a defensive matchup, it's who's going to score the most points? Who's going to get the most stops? And right now, the Broncos offense hasn't looked very consistent.
Well, let me say this real quick, and I'm not trying to look past the Broncos, But I did say this on Twitter that to me, this next month is kind of brutal for Kansas City because you have the Broncos and then you have the Jaguars at home and then you go to New England and then I think you have the Broncos at home. In four games in a row. I mean, you have the Broncos within 3 weeks of each other, I believe, 4 weeks of each other. To me, this is starting to be a division type of game. If you don't, if you guys don't win in Denver, I have a really hard time believing Kansas City is going to lose in Kansas City.
No, I agree with you completely. It's tough to go into Kansas City regardless with how Denver's playing right now. I think if they don't win in Denver, it's going to be a tough one to go on that road here in a few weeks and play the Chiefs because that's just a tough matchup. Very great fan base and a great crowd. And to be honest with you, when I look at this game, we talk about the importance of playoff positioning. I know we hate to mention that stuff so early on in the season, but divisional games, you guys know it as well as we do. Divisional games matter the most. And each team at this point, I believe, I will have played three divisional games right before, you know, they even bye. The Broncos have a bye week 9. And from that point, they're already going to play three divisional games. That's absolutely tough.
Well, and Kansas City has owned the AFC West lately. Now, the one thing I will say that gives me a little bit of pause about this game is this will be the second time your team has seen Patrick Mahomes. And there's now 4 weeks of tape on Patrick Mahomes. Usually after the first 4 weeks, QBs are figured out a little bit. And, you know, definitely the second time playing somebody. So that gives me a little bit of pause. I still think Kansas City wins, though, and I would be surprised if they don't put up over 35 points. Doing it, and the Broncos are probably around 24 to 27, somewhere in there.
Ooh, okay. I like your optimism. That's a little closer than I would have thought based on factoring off the week 3 matchups. I would have thought that if the Broncos, here's my formula. If the Broncos can adjust defensively, play a little bit tighter, and the offense can be more consistent attacking across the middle of the field, especially if Eric Berry is not there, the Broncos have to exploit some of those matchups and maybe even get the ball out of the hands of Case Keenum. Cookery held it too long week 3, but you want to have some success in this game. If the Broncos can adjust those things, I think it can be a close game, like a 27-24. We've seen these close games in Denver on Monday Night Football, on Sunday Night Football, on Thursday Night Football. Every game seems to be a close game on primetime, minus that Christmas Day game, which we'll never, ever talk about ever again. But outside of that, I think if the Broncos play the way they did against Ravens in week 3, I think it's going to be a blowout, and it's not going to be in the favor of the Broncos, unfortunately. I hate saying that, but being realistic, and I think a lot of people are feeling the same way.
You know, at the end of the day, realism is what counts. You know, folks, we're trying to give you an idea of what we think is going to happen, not just sunshine. So, you know, and I'll tell you this, as far as my prediction, I think the Broncos do score a fair number of points. I think Keenum will have some success. And it's iffy for me. I personally feel like the best matchup for them in the passing game is going to be Sutton, because I think when you're looking at a third corner, you're looking at Skandrick, that's really small. Even if they try to go with Murray on him, he's fairly undersized as well. And I like what Sutton can do. Was high on him coming out as well. But I think really the key to this game is going to be for the Broncos offense on the Chiefs defense. And that's because the Chiefs have just been giving up yardage, big plays, scores to running backs. And I think, especially in the pass game, I think Lindsey is just a guy that they're not going to be able to cover with their linebackers. There's going to be an adjustment made there eventually, but I don't know if it's going to be quick enough to keep the damage limited. So overall, I think Lindsey and Freeman both have a decent game. And I think the Broncos do score 27 points. I just don't think that they can corral the Chiefs enough. And I see it 41-27 Chiefs.
Man,
with two field goals from Bucker. I just want to throw that in. He hasn't had much work yet, so.
Hey, he's got more work than Dustin Colquitt does.
Well, there's that.
Oh, hey, yeah,
Dustin's making
well.
A killing. He's going to average like $600,000 per punt this season, but it's going to be what it is.
That's almost what the Broncos pay Marquette King right now.
Well, that's a whole different story, isn't it? Him and Kelsey together should be interesting. Well, folks, that's it for us. That's how we feel about this game. We want to know what you think. Broncos fans, you know that I'm at local, so feel free and tweet at me too. But hit us both at Locked On Broncos. Hit us at Locked On Chiefs. And all of our personal accounts, we want to know what you guys think. Get back with us. Let us know if you like this show as well. We look forward to this game. Hope you guys enjoy Monday night. And we will have post game for you on Locked On Chiefs. I'm sure, I don't know what your guys' plans are. Do you do post game that night?
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Yep. Late See, night, both of us covered with that post-game recap as well as Locked On Chiefs. It's going to be a fun day. Busy, busy day, I tell you what, but it's going to be fun. Broncos, Chiefs, Monday Night Football. What more could you ask for?
A Chiefs, folks, 50, thank you for 50 listening point to win.
Oh, geez. Come on.
He asked. I'm just saying.
Okay. All right. I get it. Dang. All right, folks, enjoy this. Hope you enjoyed the show. Enjoy the game. We thank you for listening today to both of these shows, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.